Alrighty, folks, we're going to say the quiet part out loud and we're going to dig into this. And this is why home buyers lose and real estate investors win. I don't know about you, Anna, but over the years, I've seen a very consistent trend where homeowners frankly overpay, they make unwise decisions and regret it, and sometimes regret it quickly, while the good real estate investors just keep on keeping on. What do you think? Why do home buyers lose and good real estate investors win?
Well, home buyers, number one, make emotional decisions that are not necessarily backed up by the numbers, such as, I can't find a house, so I'm going to go into a bidding war on a house that I know I'm going to have to overpay by 30 grand, and it needs what I think is 10,000 of work. That's probably really 50 or $60,000 of work.
Yeah.
And that's what we've seen over the last couple of years is old properties that are the alligators that we don't want to buy even as investors get scooped up by hopeful homeowners that are making an emotional decision.
Yeah, I think that is such a key point. And again, I'm trying to get homeowners, right? First time home buyers and whatnot to understand that higher rates, AKA slower market, is a good news for you. So you can, you don't have to make those emotional decisions. My biggest fear, like 3 weeks ago, Anna, was actually rates would go sub six. And at that point, home buyers would go on tilt. It would be another round trip from eight to sub six, no inventory, bidding wars everywhere. And, you know, you're talking 30 grand over. We could get 50 grand wave conditions. Money goes hard day one. It's just, I've seen it before. I mean, I remember 06. It was very much the same environment. People were just getting these stupid loans and they were overpaying and, you know, all of that. I've seen home buyers, not only emotional, like, you know, like we need this house, we've lost a couple, but it almost becomes this competitive froth. And it's like, you never win when you're in a competitive situation, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to my husband about this today because we were talking about private money for a property that I'm going to buy versus, you know, and I'm buying a property with private money and interest only financing, you know, and his thought is, well, you're not paying down principal. And I said, you know, the biggest mistake people make, and this applies to homeowners, is they buy a house they really only want to live in for a couple years is like their intro into housing, you know, like, yep. First time home buyer. And yep. Then they say, oh, in 3 or 4 years, we'll have a couple kids and then we'll move. Well, the first 7 years that you have a mortgage, you're paying like over 90% of it is your interest. So yeah. You're paying significant interest. So a lot of times people, what they do is they're in this emotional frenzy. They just have to own a home. They don't feel like they've arrived unless they own a home and aren't renting. So they have big down payments, big closing costs, high interest rates. They're paying mostly, you know, interest. And then they want to sell their house and they have costs to exit as well. And so they spend so much money to buy a house for a couple of years that they would have been better off if they had rented during that time period and saved the money for the house that they really want later. And I see that all the time. So that's another mistake home buyers make is they buy stuff just to buy, thinking that that's always a better decision when most of the time, if it's not the home you're going to stay in for 7 years, it's a better decision to rent than it is to buy.
Yeah. The other thing I see with first time home buyers, really home buyers in general and investors, the difference is, you know, you talk to a home buyer and they're like, oh my God, I made three offers and I haven't got anything. You know, let's make the fourth one even better. Right. Invest. Like, I remember a time I wrote 100 offers in a row and got two counters. I'm like, okay, well, I'll keep writing the numbers that make sense.
Right.
The other one is I don't know what it is. I'm going to guess it's 80%, maybe 75% of homeowners. They see a home price listed. And they immediately, like, their first instinct is to offer list price. I don't know about you, but I would say 98% of my offers ever were below list price. I can only think of one or two that were just mispriced and I offered list.
Yeah, you know, I think the point here is that investors typically, they're trying to cash flow. right? Or they're trying to have enough upside. And because they need growth and upside, you know, they've got to purchase it below value, or they've got to structure it in a way where they're creating cash flow. And most of the time on a single family house that's listed, you're not going to be able to have upside in cash flow if you offer list. And so most investors are going to have to offer less than that, or structure. I love creative financing in markets like this. Structure creative financing, you know, go to private lenders, which homeowners can't do, but investors can, so that you can, you know, create cash flow and upside that homeowners just can't do. I will say this, because of low interest rates, I know you like to call it financial engineering, and sometimes mm-hmm. that's a negative thing, but it's also a very positive thing.
Oh, it
because
can be. Yeah.
As an investor, I'm financially engineering income and growth.
Correct.
In different ways. I don't have to worry about just purchase price. Like you, for the most of, you know, the last 18 years or so, I've offered below asking, but there are times when I've gone over asking.
Sure.
Yes, it's a bidding war, but I know how much potential there is and how much I can force the appreciation with my rehabs, or I can lock in incredible financing, you know, for long periods of time that allow me big cash flow, or I can outbid most investors who only know how to make money yeah. one way by right. paying what the seller wants, maybe going a little bit better, but structuring my financing to where I can overpay, but still have significant upside. You have to be careful, but it's just yeah. a difference between homeowners who are like, okay, this is my top and this is what I'm approved for and I can't go over, versus investors who say, I've got lots of different ways that I can buy an investment property that aren't available to homeowners.
Yeah, what I would tell a homeowner today, again, is, as rates are going up probably to 7.5 today, maybe even going back to 8 over the next couple of weeks, is you don't have to offer list price. You just don't. You know, maybe stop looking at first day listings, right? Look at some older stuff days on market. We've been here before. I would ask your real estate agent to go back and look at what happened in their market, your buy box, to use my words, the last time rates were 8%. It was slower. And you saw inventory build. That's a good thing. As somebody who's been buying homes, I've bought a property every year for probably 22 years now. And trust me, you want to buy with less competition. It takes work.
And
it takes consistency.
Yeah. And it's really important, you know, something that you said there is key is your market, because every market is very different. And where most real estate cycles, the classic real estate cycle, when you peak is when you have oversupply. And the oversupply is what tips you down into starting to see prices start to come down, because you have more demand, but you have oversupply. And then you have, you know, a real estate related recession. But we've kind of skipped the hypersupply phase in a lot of markets. Other markets are very oversupplied. So I'll give you an example. I live right outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania. It's extremely difficult to get through zoning to build in our area. It's mm-hmm. they have this mindset of, any apartments and you're bringing in riffraff, we're not going to let that happen in our neighborhood, right? So it's a high barrier to entry. There's extremely low supply. There are still bidding wars, Michael. I've been watching, you know, single family homes for the last 2 weeks again, and I always loosely look, but I've been really, you know, looking pretty seriously for 2 weeks. Most listings, they hit the market, they're off the same day, some of them the next day. So we're still very low supplied. So properties are going for a bidding war still. I also own a vacation rental in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I've had one on the market for several months and they are just all crazy offers. But there is so much supply because too many people way overpaid for short-term rentals, million-dollar homes. It's mostly the high end that got really hit. But there's a ton of supply. And so there are no bidding wars. And so a lot of people are having to slash their prices. And it's mm-hmm. a great time for some people in markets like that to go in and buy when your competition yep. is gone, supply is high, and you have motivated sellers. So you have to really know your market. You can understand the general real estate market, but coming back to what I always say is real estate is very, very much local. And so your mileage may vary and you have to understand your market. The only way you know where your market is in that supply and demand shift, whether you're hypersupplied or you're undersupplied, is by doing the work and knowing your numbers, right? You've got to look at all the comps over the last year, are they going up or are they coming down? How much supply is there versus demand? How quickly are properties going off the market and what are they selling for? And so you only know that when you're looking at and tracking. You know, I go back to an old school spreadsheet, Michael. I mean, I know the numbers in my head well enough that I can go, that's underpriced. The property that I just got under contract was listed for sale by owner, but put on the MLS. And I looked at it and said, that's underpriced. How do I know that? Because I've been looking at what is everything selling for. So know your numbers, know your market, and then you know whether you're overpaying or underpaying and whether it's worth it to do so.
I love it. Again, just folks, real estate's not that hard. Get a buy box, stay consistent, look daily. You will eventually get that ability to kind of see what is a great deal, what's a bad deal. And really, the end of the day for me is doing the work and understanding average. That plays for investors and homeowners. I want homeowners to hear me. Slower real estate markets are good for you.
Yeah.
Find, you know, stop the emotional, stop the only, you know, I really hate it. I just hate it. I've written three offers. I haven't gotten anything. I have to go higher. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't.
And the same for investors. You know, investors have to be careful not to get sucked into the same emotional thing we're talking about for a home buyer that really wants a house. You have been in bidding wars too. You've had to be patient. You haven't found as many deals that cash flow. It's gotten a little bit harder, but you have to be principled and patient and say, this is the most I'm going to pay for any profit, any property, because this is my minimum profit margin I'm willing to take on any deal. And then you need to stick to that. Don't get sucked into, well, there's four other offers coming in today, so I better go up. It's like, what is your number? What is your cash on cash return you need? What is your total return that you need? You stick to that and you stay principled. And you stay patient. And even if it takes you a year to get a deal, I mean, I think it's, you're going to do it faster than that, but you have to stick with it every single day and don't let no's or properties, you know, going for over asking, make you think that you're doing something wrong or make you go for a deal you shouldn't, because you are still competing with a lot of homeowners right now in undersupplied markets. And so you're just going to have to be patient and make a lot of offers. And to your point, you might make 100 and get two counters and get one deal. That used to kind of be the norm. And so it's not abnormal for that to happen.
Yeah, Anna, you're amazing. Congrats on your deal. Once it's signed, sealed, and delivered, maybe next week we'll talk about it in more detail. But where can people find you?
Great. You can find me here every week on your show. You can find me social media, Anna Kelly, REMOM, and for real estate coaching and consulting, AnnaKellyInvesting.com.
Thank you so much.